What do you think of when you hear the word peacemaker? Who do you think of when you think of the word peacemakers? Peacemaker. I think of my oldest son. He's quite the peacemaker. He's just always so calm and got great conflict resolution skills. He used to work in a lot of nightclubs, and there was always a fair bit of trouble in that industry, so he could always like put out the fires and bring about a peaceful resolution that was quite beneficial. And even in family, a big family extended gatherings, if there's, you know, a bit of an argument breaking out, he can actually manage it very well and put all the fires out and bring about peace. My daughter, on the other hand, I've just shared a little bit before, not so easy to keep the peace all the time. We have very conflicting views at times, but at the same time, we're still committed to reconciliation and to making peace with one another even when we disagree. It's that kind of commitment. Now, today I want you to think about how you need to be a peacemaker in your family, in your relationships, in your workplace, in your school, in your community. What role do you need to play as peacemaker anywhere you go? Because reality is, we all face conflicts at certain times in our lives. People see things a little bit differently, and we are called as Christ's disciples to be peacemakers. So that's part of the Beatitudes. Remember, they are a list of descriptions of what it means to live as a person in God's kingdom. A children of God. We are children of God when we live as peacemakers. When we let's recap. Remember, if we are living in God's kingdom, we are first of all poor in spirit. We recognize our need for God. We come to Him totally dependent on Him, knowing that we cannot save ourselves, that we have nothing of spiritual value in ourselves. We depend totally on Him. And we are people in God's kingdom who mourn. Once we are saved and receive the kingdom, we mourn over our sin and we grieve over it and we mourn over the sins of the world and all that's happening in Ukraine and all the things that we see on the news. We're also people who are meek and humble and gentle. We're people who trust God to make things right. We don't retaliate when things go wrong. We trust God with it. We keep our power under control. And we're also people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We show mercy to others, the same mercy that God shows toward us, we show towards others as God's kingdom people. And also we have purity in heart to live in that loving relationship with God. Have I just described all of you? Does that describe you? So God wants us to aspire to live this way. This is a description of God's kingdom people. And we're continuing on with this today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Just to remind you, that word blessed means favoured by God with a deep, abiding, unshakable joy that's rooted in the assurance of God's favour and love and blessing, both now, in the present, and in the future. It's a blessing of profound joy and inner well-being that no person and no circumstance can take away from you. And we are blessed when we live as peacemakers. Now, peacemaking isn't just about being people who live in peace. Peacemaking is actually being active, going about to make peace. We have to work to bring about peace, not just live in peace. Peacemakers overcome evil with good. Peacemaking requires us to take the initiative to get involved in conflicts with the intention of building bridges between parties. And it's challenging for us who are always taught to like run away from conflict or pretend it's not there, to shove it under the carpet. We don't like conflict, we don't confront it. That's what we're taught mostly in our society. But we need to be people who acknowledge conflict and lean into it and deal with it with the aim of coming to reconciliation with the abiding parties, bringing two opposing parties together. Now, first of all, we are called to do this with our relationship with God. If we are right with God, we are called to the ministry of reconciliation, and we are called to help others to make peace with God. We are peacemakers for God, helping others to be reconciled to Him, helping them to turn away from sin and turn back to God. And we can do that by sharing our testimony with others about how Jesus has transformed our lives, how good He is in our lives, and encouraging others to pray and read the Word of God for themselves and get to know Him that way. We can practice what we preach and be conspicuously spiritual. Tell others we go to church. Invite them to church. These are ways we can be peacemakers for God, helping others to draw closer to Him. The second way we are called to be peacemakers is making peace in our relationships with others. When we're in conflict, when we're at odds with someone else, we need to go to them. We need to be the first to hold out the olive branch and reconcile with them. You know, this peacemaking isn't about just hoping it will just like go away if we ignore it long enough, or keep our fingers crossed, or deny that it doesn't exist. And it's not about appeasing bullies either. You know, passive tactics like that just actually end up festering into bigger issues and can build resentment. I know that full well. I've put up with a bully in my life for the last couple of months, and every time I've tried to confront the issues and talk to that person about it, I've been yelled at or abused or put down or talked over. And after many times of trying to be a peacemaker in the situation, I gave it one last shot yesterday just to bring peace. And that person didn't want a bar of it, and I've just had to walk away. That is how I can be a peacemaker in this situation. Often our efforts to make peace with someone will fail. And that's okay, because as long as we have done what the scriptures call us to do, to seek peace and pursue it, and to live at peace as much as it depends on us, we know that we've done our part to be a peacemaker. We can't control the others and the outcome, but we can do what Jesus wants us to do. And so making peace with others requires some action on our behalf, some action to promote goodwill. We need to speak up in love. And as I said, we always ought to be the first to hold out an olive branch. Now, a third way we are called to be peacemakers is in conflicts that we're not directly involved in. If you just think about the children bickering and you step in and you say, "No, let's see if we can reconcile." I think everyone on our Thursday Bible study group thought, you know, when they think of someone who is a peacemaker, who did they think of? Their mum sorting out all the problems when they were young, sorting out all those arguments. And, you know, that's a great way that we can leave a legacy of peacemaking upon our children, is to teach them to resolve arguments through consideration and compromise rather than through screaming and being strong-willed. So we need to be peacemakers in this way, helping people, other people who are at odds, come to some sort of resolution. And we can do this sometimes by just stepping in. I remember in primary school, there was this girl, I shouldn't say her name, but she was a stinky girl. Like, she just smelled. She had a medical condition where she just smelled, and all the other kids were so mean and just pick on her. But she was a beautiful person, so I just used to stick up for her and tell the others off and befriend her, went to her birthday party. I didn't care if she stank. Do you know what's funny, though? This is not relevant. I don't have it written here, but she went on to become the most successful person I know. She like has like 20 houses and has her own real estate business. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But so proud of her. Some people really picked on in school. I remember in high school, another boy, all the boys would be picking on him because he was just little and he was a runt and maybe he's a little bit annoying. But they were so nasty to him, and I would just step in too and say, "Leave him alone," or "If you hurt him, I'm going to hurt you." And they left him alone. I think it's important that we can bring about, be peacemakers and stand up for those who don't have a voice and those who need a friend. I've just heard Sean Coombs' testimonial story twice now, once at the International Women's event and the other night at Rotary. And she became a lawyer for that very reason. She remembers in primary school, everyone was picking on a child and she just wanted to step in and protect that child and help the others see, no, the way you're treating this person is unkind and it's unfair and that's not nice, and how would you feel? And she just really felt a call to stick up for those who aren't able to stand up for themselves. She became a lawyer. So as peacemakers, we are to build bridges between people in discord with each other. We promote reconciliation between people, and we encourage people to live in harmony. We encourage peaceful living among others by doing such things as reasoning frankly with our neighbours, rebuking those who persist in sin, warning those who are idle and disruptive, and discouraging people from being vindictive with each other. We calmly mediate with a soft answer that is rooted in Scripture. Now, the reward for peacemaking is the assurance that we are children of God, children who truly represent our Heavenly Father, who has a heart for reconciliation and peace. We are called His very own children, and we live as His brothers and sisters in Christ, adopted into God's own family, which is a blessing indeed. So where are you called to be a peacemaker today? I'll leave you to think about that later. For now, I'll go on with the last beatitude. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Persecuted for doing right is different from suffering for doing wrong. That's punishment. And Jesus isn't here talking about being persecuted just for any old reason, being stinky, for example. Being persecuted for righteousness' sake is what Jesus is talking about here. Righteousness means more than just being a good person. It refers to a complete orientation of our whole lives and will towards God and His will. And we ought to be persecuted for actively pursuing the kingdom of righteousness and because of our faith in Jesus, he says. Peter put it this way: if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. The Old Testament prophets were considered heroes for their uncompromising faithfulness to God, despite every threat and pressure, and in facing all kinds of abuse. The New Testament saints suffered for the same cause, the cause of Christ and God's kingdom. Jesus himself faced persecution and was hated by the world, and so will all those who belong to Christ if we boldly live for him. He said, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why it hates you. Does it though? Are we living that differently to the world? Does it notice that we're different? I think if we lived out these beatitudes in full entirety, I think some people in the world would hate us. I know the devil would cause up some trouble for us because we'd be taking ground for the kingdom. So if we ever do suffer and are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the cause of Christ, know that you are blessed. Blessed. And in this eighth beatitude, Jesus expands the blessing to go even further, not just blessed for being persecuted. He continues on, let me read it. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So friends, rejoice when you're persecuted. Sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? But to be so identified with Christ in that way, to share in his suffering, is a privilege and a blessing indeed. And we get nothing less than the kingdom of heaven when we share in this way. These words that the Lord offers in the Beatitudes are hope and encouragement for those who are persecuted. And there have been many throughout history, as you know, the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament saints, and lots of martyrs all through history. Even today, many persecuted in different countries. But Jesus says, rejoice when you're persecuted. Dance a little. Leap for joy. Dr. Taylor leapt and danced a little as he came to his execution. He was glad because he was almost home at his father's house. Another man, Lawrence Saunders, almost smiling, hugged the stake he was about to be executed on, and he kissed it, saying, welcome, the cross of Christ. Welcome, everlasting life. Would you welcome execution and persecution like that? I think we understand it in this country. The closest thing to anything of persecution I have ever suffered is from the, you know, verbal abuse of my ex-husband, who was jealous that I love God more than him. So get cranky and carry on. It's not persecution, though. We know nothing about it. But there's many in other countries that do, and they challenge us. So I'm going to put on a little video and leave you with that to ponder just now.